me. Once I was blind, but now I see. Save my soul from the burning hell.
Cut your shame.
set free. I'm going to praise him. You've been set free. You need to praise him. We've been set free. We're going to praise him. Pour it out in our soul. We're going to let the whole world go.
Oh, did anybody pray here this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Liberty's in the house this morning. Oh, let's worship him. Amen.
To praise him this morning. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We're no longer bound by sin. Amen. But we've been set free. Amen. How many have been set free? Oh, how many are thankful? Oh, hallelujah, that you've been set free. Amen. We serve a good God. We serve a mighty God. Can you say Jesus? Oh, come on. Say Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the reason why we're here this morning. We're here to lift that mighty name up. We're here to magnify that name together. Amen. There's something about that name. Amen. There's Holy Ghost in that name. There's deliverance in that name this morning. And whatever your need is this morning, just call upon that name. Believe it. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise once again. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good. Amen. Amen. You may be seated here this morning. Praise God. It's so good to be back in God's house, to be in His wonderful presence. And we do have an exciting day today. Amen. But we have several announcements here this morning. Let's not forget there will be no service tonight. However, everyone say Kids Day. April 25th. Today's Kids Day. Are the kids happy? Do you have any happy kids here this morning? Amen. This is the day that our pastor has chosen for us to celebrate our children. Amen. Thank God for our children. As parents, we are truly blessed. Amen. For they are the next generation of apostolics. Amen. Hallelujah. So with that, we're going to be gathering together at the West facility. Amen. We're going to have a time of fellowship, fun, and food. Amen. So let's not forget there's going to be hamburgers and hot dogs that are going to be provided. If you haven't signed up as of yet, please make sure to do so. It's in the bulletin board, and every family needs to bring one large bag of chips and 2 dozen cookies. That's per family. So husband, look at your wife. Wife, look at your husband. Say, let's not forget the bags of potato chips and the cookies. Someone say, praise the Lord. Water and sweet tea will be provided. Sodas will also be for 50 cents. You can't beat that price at the West facility. Someone say, praise the Lord. Also, let's not forget prayer Monday night. The doors will be open. We'll be back in the house of the Lord on Monday night for prayer at 7 p.m. Let's come expecting, amen. How many believe God's been moving in our city? Amen. Has anybody been inviting? I'm telling you, yesterday I must have spoken about 3-4 different people, inviting them, amen. God just put them in my way, amen. They might not be here today, but I got faith to believe. God's working on lots of souls, amen, lots of people that are getting ready to come. The doors are open. Come on, we need to do our part, amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Wednesday night, we're going to be gathering back in the house of the Lord for our pastor's Bible study. Amen. This is where we are nurtured into the word of the Lord. Our pastor does dig deep into the word. Amen. And what he delivers, it comes directly from God. And that is what we need in the day that we're living in. Amen. Amen. We need to be nurtured. Amen. Because the devil's a liar. The devil is a deceiver, but as long as we're being nurtured by the word of God, by the man of God, we get strengthened as a body, amen? We get strengthened, the revival gets brighter and gets fired up in Jesus' name. How many want to be fired up in the name of the Lord? Praise the Lord, somebody. So please invite someone to the house of the Lord. Thursday night revival. Everyone say revival. We're in revival, amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, we're in revival. Are you in revival? Revival have you? So let's invite, invite, invite. Can you say that? Keep on inviting. Keep on inviting. Amen. God will do the rest in Jesus' name. Dinner sales. Also, that was going to be selling shredded beef dinners. Going to be $10 a plate. You can't beat it for shredded beef, chili beans, rice, flour tortillas, barbecue sauce, salsa drink, and the dessert. This is going to be Friday, May 7th. So if you do need a form, please see Sister Lou right after service. Someone say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. With that, Sister Rosario.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Tomorrow, Pastor and Sister Hale, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to be married 40 years? No? And I am just so thankful because they are the perfect couple to look upon.
41 years.
And I'm just so thankful because, you know what, whenever anybody has an issue with their relationship or marriage, you know, they to look upon our pastor and his wife. Because 41 years is a long time, and it's not, marriage is nothing to play with. You know, that's something sacred, and I'm so thankful that my pastor and his wife made it that. And I'm just so thankful. I can brag about them all the time, and just when you guys, especially those that are married, if you guys have a problem, go to Pastor and Sister Hale. Because 41 years, to me, you don't need a marriage counselor. You just need God and wisdom from the pastor. And for us women that have some of our own issues, you know, of course you go to Sister Hale because, you know what, she's an awesome, awesome woman. And our pastor is an awesome man of God. And I'm so thankful for their love of God because without that love, they wouldn't have this church. And they probably wouldn't even be married this long. As you know, most of us that have come out of this world, we have scars. And I'm thankful and proud to say that my pastor and his wife have no scars to bear. And that's why I am so thankful that they are the person to look upon, a couple to look upon. And on behalf of New Life Tabernacle, we have a card and a little basket of goodies. Just in case they want to take off tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Sister Rosario. I've been checking out your gift basket here, and there's so far I can only see two things that I can eat in here. My wife has put me on a strict diet, and it's working, but amen. I just can't look at it. But thank you so much for remembering us on this very, very special day. I told my wife as she was talking, she said 41 years, and I said it just doesn't feel like it. 41 years, my goodness. And you still look as fine as you did then. Thank you for being our godly example. Happy anniversary. Love and Prayers, New Life Tabernacle. And I appreciate this. Amen. You do remember us on all of our special occasions. And I got to thinking back 30 years ago, we came into the city of Corcoran. And I keep telling people I was 32 years old when I took the church. I was really only 31 because I didn't turn 32 until April. And so Elder Morton keeps telling me, says, yeah, we took our churches at the same age. Now I can let them know, I took mine a year before you did. But no, we're so thankful. The years have gone by, and it's just like in marriage when you're having fun. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. And Monday night is our anniversary, but guess where we're going to be? Right here for prayer. Amen. Because I put the things of God first. Amen. I think prayer is so important because that's what's kept your marriage, is prayer. If you think otherwise, then you're living in a fantasy land. But I'm thankful for God and all that God has done. And we are blessed here today. Sister Hale, go ahead. I asked her where her mic was. We're just going to have to get her a special mic. I'll share.
Thank you. I don't really need one, but you can be seated. Wait, come back. Well, thank you for honoring us. I do appreciate it. And I see lots of goodies. You didn't look very well. There's nuts right there. Okay. Maybe I need my glasses. Well, I'll enjoy it and I'll let you know. I think I need one. But thank you for honoring us. And many times I have been referred to as the food police. But I'm doing it to help us out. Yes. So we want you to be around for another 41 years. That will be a miracle if that happens. But yikes. I don't know. But I'm thankful that God has been good to us. We thank you for always remembering our special days. And you are special to us. How long have we been here? 30 years. You have always remembered us. And all these things are special. And we could never say thank you enough. We do sincerely appreciate all that you do, all your kind words. And I don't know, we had been married not a long time, but maybe 10 or 11 years when we first came. And a few years down the road, somebody had started doing marriage counseling, and they were like half our age. And in my mind, I thought, man, we've only been married so many years and they're half that and they have all this wisdom. And I thought, I don't know where I missed picking it up. I've told Elder Morton several times through the years, if I could just go back and be a young person so I could try to learn everything I could if I only knew what my future was going to hold. But that's impossible. But every day is a learning experience, and I thank God that he provided a man of God in my life that directed me when I was looking for a husband. I knew what I wanted because my parents had backslid. And I had told God many times that I wanted a husband that was going to serve him. I didn't want to start this journey of marriage and then them walk away from God, because this is my life. This is what I've always wanted, and I wanted a godly husband. And I say, thank you, honey, for being that godly husband, being a godly father, being a godly pastor. And I love you and I admire you, and thank you for all the years that we've had together. Thank you, church.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I hope we can all please stand. Let's give honor where honor is due. Pastor and pastor's wife, we love them. We're thankful that God has sent them to the city of Corcoran. God could have sent them somewhere else, but how many are thankful that they were sent here to our city? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We are truly blessed here this morning. Amen. We do have several prayer requests we need to bring before the Lord on behalf of the Macho family, the passing of their son, grandson. Family's in need of comfort. Also for Annie Miranda, is on a feeding tube, in need of healing this morning. Also for Ava Moreno, who's a 3-year-old, has been sick for about a year with fevers. The doctors don't know what's wrong. Aren't you thankful that we serve a mighty God that's a healer? Amen. Impossible with man is possible with God. How many believe that this morning? Mateo Carrillo also is in need of healing. Fell and bumped his head and has sick in body. Also for Brian Campos this morning, has a special need. God's working upon his heart. Amen. He's wanting to come to church. We're in revival in Jesus' name. Amen. Also by the uplifting of hands, if you have a need here this morning, present your need before the Lord by the uplifting of your hands here. Also, as for God's word as it goes forward here this morning, that his word will continue doing a work in every heart that is here in Jesus' name. Let's go before the Lord on behalf of these needs, also for our offering here this morning as we pray unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for truth here this morning. We thank you, Lord, once again, for you are a prayer-answering God. There is nothing impossible with thee. Lord, the Macho family, the passing of their loved one, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will minister to them, bring comfort unto the family, give them strength in their time of need of their lost loved one. Also for Annie Miranda, is on a feeding tube this morning, in need of healing. And little Ava Moreno, who is also a 3-year-old who's sick of fever. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, and for Mateo as well, let your virtue flow through each and every one of their bodies. We pray in Jesus' name. We rebuke this infirmity out of their bodies, and by the power that's in your name, we pray for a complete healing upon them. Also for every uplifted hand here in the house, you know every need here this morning. Also for Brian Campos and family, we pray in the name of Jesus, dear Lord, that you continue working upon his heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit, God, oh, Lord, lead him here in the mighty name of Jesus. Also for this offering as we give unto you here this morning, we give with thanksgiving in our hearts once again. We thank you for who you are in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship the Lord in our giving here this morning in Jesus' name.
Just once in a while, he's good.
God. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We bless your holy name. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. And this is a special day. Amen. Now, I hope and pray that you still feel that your kids are special. Amen. They are. They are. They are very special. Amen. So today is Kids Day. And it's amazing to me that forecast says no rain all year. And then today it's saying it's going to rain. I had a struggle this morning wondering who was really in charge of the weather, God or the devil. but I know God's in charge, and if the Lord wants it to rain, then we do need the rain. But we will continue as the weather is fine, and depends on the weather. That we are contemplating. We've got several different ideas of what we're going to do. So work with us, and we will together make this day something that these kids need to always remember, that a church that took time for them. Amen. Praise God. Now, some of you young people were at youth conference, and I hope you got something out of youth conference that you brought home with you. And I don't think at youth conference you sat on your hands. I think you got with it and you jumped and you clapped and you need to bring that home. Amen. That's what we go to youth conference for. We go to get strengthened. Amen. We go to learn, and I know some of you out there saying, and to look. Hope the boys were looking for girls and the girls were looking for boys. But that's all growing up, and I understand that. On Wednesday night, we handed out the guidelines for courtship and dating. And if you didn't receive one, you need to raise your hand up real high. And Brother Daniel, if they don't have their hand up real high, you just pass by them. Amen. Okay, that's it. No one else has got their hand up real high. Here, let me have them. You, real high. You should have turned around and looked at your sister. Amen. Real high. If you didn't get one, lift your hands up real high. That's the only way Brother Daniel's going to be able to see you because he's so short. Real high. Oh, wait. I didn't see your hand go up. There you go. She's worshiping Jesus. All right. She don't want one. She don't want a date. All right. Is that it? All right. All right. And so I mentioned Wednesday night that I was been asked for these, and I have totally, I spend anywhere from 6 to 10 hours a day in my office studying 7 days a week. My wife's saying, I'm only six. And what am I doing up here today? This is probably the hardest day of my week is on Sunday because I do a lot of watching and praying. I do a lot of discernment. And some people think pastor just doesn't do anything. You don't realize what I'm doing up here. You don't realize what I'm doing. I'm filling out spirits. Amen. That's why sometimes I get up to this pulpit and I say something and you think, how did he know? How did he know I was thinking that? How did he know I felt that way? Amen. So I do. I take I take seriously this God-given calling that God has put in my life. And so I do spend a lot of time in the Word, studying, researching, and trying to put together things that are needful in our generation. Amen. I was talking to Elder Morton, it's been several months ago, and he was referencing how when he first started pastoring, things are so much different today. There's things that you could do in his day when he first started pastoring, you wouldn't dare to do it today. And I know to some of you, you're thinking a lot of vague, unimportant things, but yet it really is. It's a different world that we live in. And if you've been listening to any news, this Equality Act, is anyone familiar with the Equality Act? That's very dangerous for the church. And if this thing passes, we're not going to change anything. That's why we got those doors where you can't get in unless we let you in. But I'm telling you what, they're coming against the church. And I'm telling you what, it's sad, but you know, you voted who you wanted to vote in. And if you voted for the wrong man, he got in office. And that was a pun. And I'm telling you what, he's making a lot of changes. A lot of things he said he wouldn't do, guess what? He's doing them. And he's even got his own party upset with him. But I'm telling you what, if this equality passes, this act, that's not good. But we're going to live with it, even if it is. And praying when the next administration comes in, that gets wiped off the table. Amen. I'm telling you, it's terrible. And and I'm not going to go into all of that it entails, but it affects more than the church. But that's one of the targets that this is coming against, and it's after conservatism, point blank. And so we got to pray. Everyone say we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Starting Wednesday night, I've spent several hours putting together more of the Worth the Wait classes. So we will start Wednesday night, and this is for everybody. It's not just for our young people, it's for everybody. And because in my teachings, I am going to be directing a lot of comments to our parents. But Worth the Wait, I have expanded it from 4 lessons to 10 lessons. And it's because of the day we're living in. Amen. So these are going to begin on Wednesday night. And I will be teaching these on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday and Thursday nights is these classes I'm going to be teaching. And in order for you to graduate, to get your certificate, diploma, and your ribbon, you have to be in every class because this is how important it is. And if you don't ask me to get married. Amen. This is how important I feel it is. And every young man ought to want it to be that way because he wants a wife that's going to listen. And every young lady ought to want that because they ought to want to make sure they get a husband that's going to be obedient to their pastor. All right. We're going to have fun. These classes are going to be fun. I have a lot of information, and I tell you what, I wish that, not that my marriage has been bad or not that we made mistakes as young people, but I wish I'd have had classes like this when I was this age. Amen. I'm from the old school, and that's just the way it is. Elder Morton asked my wife, he did this every time she went out on a date. Well, what do you think? Because Elder Morton was of the opinion that if you're going to date someone, they ought to be marriage. A what? Material. In other words, if you're going to date them, then you're saying that, you know, I might be interested in marrying that guy. I might be interested in marrying that girl. And usually after the first date, you know. Oh, no. And Elder Morton used to always go to Sister Helen and say, well, what do you think? And most of them, she said, nah, not interested. No, I don't want to waste my time. And he would say, well, then don't waste your time. In other words, don't go out with them again. Even if they ask, say no. But then when he asked her about me, she said, he's the one. And Elder Morton said, get your shotgun. Is that what he said? Oh, what did he say? Oh, you don't remember. She's playing that old age game on me. Call him up right now and ask him. You don't remember. Yeah? Oh, I was right. Okay. You had to have your daughter remind you. Okay, well, did she do it in sign language or how did she do it? Write in a piece of paper? All right. So that's truly the way it ought to be. Don't waste your time dating if you don't want it to be something possibly that's serious. Because when you just go out to dating for the mere purpose of dating, that's when you get in trouble. And so there's a lot of things we're going to talk about. But this is Kids Day. Amen. Before I get to Kids Day, I want everyone to put in their calendars. We will be having revival in the month of August for just 2 weeks. We're going 2 weeks, and that's it. And you say, well, what if God really starts moving? We're going 2 weeks, and that's it. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I've got an evangelist coming that when he gets here, who knows how long we may go. This young evangelist has been preaching revivals now for several years, and he goes, and they have months of revivals. This man that I have coming is a praying man of God. And when he comes, you older folks are going to say, well, he was here when his father preached us revival, and he was only this tall. You're going to know who he is. But I have been told by many men that this young man is a man of prayer, and that when he goes to church, he goes for one purpose, for revival. And they all told me that they've had revival like no other. So I'm anticipating him coming and starting revival with him and his wife, his family. I am looking forward. I have been looking forward. And so he's supposed to be coming towards the fall. And if he comes, if he's able, he'll come sooner. But that's just his schedule. He schedules the way I used to schedule our revivals because we never knew how long our revivals was going to go. And so I just told pastors that you're on my list. When I can get to you, I'll call you in advance and let you know. And that's the way he operates. And I like that because he's not... He's not holding and I use the term, an evangelistic calendar to where he's got to stop a revival to go somewhere else. So we're starting August the 11th, and we will conclude on August the 22nd. And this is with the revival that we have in the month of August. So I wanted to give that to you, because I know a lot of people, they schedule things, and so I want to schedule this already so that you have this in your calendars. Amen. Praise God. God bless our kids. Amen. If you have your Bibles here this morning, and as I look, most of our young people and children are sitting here on the front row. That's good, because I'm going to talk to them today, but then I'm going to be also talking beyond them to the rest of us that are here in the house of God today. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I want to read a portion of scripture that the Apostle Paul was given by God through inspiration of the Holy Ghost as he began to deal with the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to go down to verse number 11. Now, you must first of all understand that in the scriptures, there's a purpose for things that are written. And so when we read the scripture text, it wasn't just a, you know, I'll just throw this in. No, there was a purpose behind it. And so follow me as I read to you from this 13th chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Paul writes, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Amen. I want to read again this setting of scriptures, but I'm going to read it from the New International Version. It reads, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face." And then he says, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Let us pray. And we want to ask the Lord if he would help us today in this study of our text. Lord, we're thanking you right now for your presence. We know, Lord, that you love us, and that these children are special in your sight. We know, Lord, that as we are becoming your children, Lord, we are special to you. I'm asking you today to help us to glean from your word, and not only to glean from it, but to understand it, and to get, Lord, a revelation of your desires in our lives. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch us with your presence in this place here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you are a parent here today, if Brother Bruce, you can look at the with the eyes in the back of your head. If you look at your children, look at your children. I know some of you it's going to take a while. Look at your kids. And that's right. Doesn't matter if they're married. Look at your child. Look at your kids. Can you see them? If you can't see them, you can stand up. But you need to look at them. Because these are individuals that God has given to you. And so today I want to preach not only to our youth and our children, but I'm going to preach to all of us here this morning for this particular Sunday morning, referring to it as Kids Day. So my title is going to be Children Will Be Children. Children Will Be Children. A traveling salesman who was in a terrible rush drove up to the only bridge across a wide but lazy river. The bridge had recently just been washed out. It was by a recent storm, and the waters were still very murky. You couldn't even see into the water. The salesman stopped his 4x4 truck at the water's edge. Then he noticed a local, he was a very short man, sitting on the bank, perched upon one of the remaining pilings. So the salesman asked him, "You live around here, don't you?" "Yeah," came the only reply. "How deep is the water? Do you think I can drive my truck across it?" "Can't be that deep. I could wade it easy if I was to try," said the local. So the salesman drove into the water and immediately sinks his truck out of sight in a flurry of bubbles. Almost drowning, the salesman barely escapes to the surface, gasping for breath. And as he pulls himself onto shore besides the local, he says, "What do you mean sending me into that river? It's at least 30 feet deep." The local scratches his head and he says, "I can't understand it," motioning across his thighs. "It just comes up to here on them ducks." That local man's wisdom was completely vindicated and justified through the duck's actions. God's wisdom is also vindicated through those who put their trust in Him. Those who become God's children justify the wisdom of His design for the world's reconciliation, the saving of one soul. How many have been there? I was lost in sin. My life was totally messed up. But then I came and I heard about Jesus and how He could bring a difference into my life. And oh, what a change. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you what, that justifies the wisdom of His design for the world's reconciliation. He can save anybody. But God will always use a childlike spirit whose faith is dependent on Jesus Christ. You know, this sounds like a child-like spirit. Now, you have to admit that children are beautiful people. Most of the time. Sister Hopi, is that a clue? Caught you again. No, I'm playing. Now the rest of you out there going, what's going on? I'll be surprised. You're in competition with the lose. Just all of you were looking around saying she had the baby. Oh, she wants you to hold her. Whenever I see a parent with the baby doll out, that always comes to my mind. Either they know something we don't know or they're hoping. But not in this case, right? Okay, just making sure. All right, so children are beautiful people most of the time. Do you remember when Jesus set a little child in the midst of a bunch of his disciples? The disciples were in competition. They were competing against who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You remember that? In the scripture, the book of Matthew. Where they were competing about who was going to sit on his right hand, who would sit on his left hand. And Jesus brought a child into their midst. And he started to teach a lesson. And he said, except ye be converted. That word converted is a reference of being changed. Unless you be converted and become as little children. Jesus didn't say to be a child, but he said to become like a child in your humility and in your faith. Jesus said there is a great difference between being childlike and childish. When childish behaviors dominate adults, that result is disaster. It was Dr. John Morgan of the Northwestern University said, most patients in every mental hospital are people whose bodies are mature, but whose emotions are infantile. I know what some of you wives are thinking right now. My home is not an institution. But he sure does act infantile. I saw some smirks out there, and that's what came to my mind. Oh, let's move on. He also said many people are trying to do an adult's work with child's emotions. The issue of childishness is disastrous for the home. The home can become a horrible, harmful, hateful, and a hellish place to live when everyone is acting like a spoiled kid. And some of you young people are up here shaking your head. You know why? Because there has been incidents in your home where you thought they're acting like spoiled kids. I think most of us can identify with that. Have you ever seen an adult do a temper tantrum? Oh, my. But it's also devastating in, or should I say, for the church. One of the worst places in the New Testament was the first apostolic church of Corinth. Paul called them babies. He said, put away childish things. But today I want to speak to all of these children for a moment here today. Now, if you're younger than I am, you're a child. And now the rest of you that are out there that are saying, oh my, what am I? You know, they always say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know, that has meaning in itself. I remember years ago I was praying and I says, God, I don't care how old I get, I want to have a teachable spirit. And because that's the difference. When you are continuously learning, you're alive. But when you stop learning and you feel like you've learned all you can learn, that's when you're dying. So I said, Lord, let me continue to have a teachable spirit. So I want to talk to all the kids today. Before the sun sets again, I want you to know what you mean to me. You are a very important part of this church. You are. You are the future musicians, the future singers, the future preachers, and the future teachers, and so much more. And I want you all to know that I love you. Amen. Don't let anyone try to convince you otherwise. Because even when I have to correct you, I'm showing you that I love you. So I want you to know and understand that I do love you. And I am so proud of you. Let that one sink in. What is amazing in life today that so many young people only hear when they've done something wrong. When's the last time you spoke to a child and you praised them for something they had done good? You say, well, all the bad outweighs just the little things. When you praise them in that regards, means so much more than anything else that you can do or say unto them. So, I am thankful for the opportunity to be your spiritual father, your pastor. Can I say you are so beautiful in my eyes? I couldn't be happier with you. I have loved you since the moment that you were conceived in this born again experience. And then to those who are still seeking the Lord and yet to have received this experience, I love you too. And I am cheering for you that you too will receive the greatest gift God has for you, the Holy Ghost. You can bear my likeness, Spirit-filled. And I am so glad, and I hope that you too feel the same way. You are a masterpiece of creation that is hand-woven with strength for purpose. You have been gifted with so much potential and opportunity. Now, no one here this morning, as I am making these statements, need to sit there and say, are you talking about me? I'm talking about you. You have so much potential and so much opportunity right before you. I can treasure you, and I really love you, and I want you to know this before your adversary comes and tries to convince you otherwise. Now notice here I said your adversary. I didn't say the devil, because you have more adversaries than you can count on one hand. An adversary is someone who will come to you with a bunch of negativism. Someone that will come to you to try to push you down. Someone that will come and has nothing that can be said that will elevate you. But all there it is that's being said is trying to destroy you. You have many adversaries. And I want you to know how much I love you before your adversary comes and tries to convince you otherwise. I am thankful for your trust. It's only natural for a child to believe in a father and mother, but then to allow your pastor to be a part of your life brings greater blessings to you than you could ever imagine. This is scriptural. I want you to know, before you begin to experience the many hardships of life, that first, I want to say I am so sorry that you may have to go through some tough times. But always remember, I am here for you. Don't ever forget that you have an enemy that wants to separate us. Pain, failure, and bad experiences, these all might lead you closer to home, to the church, or it could lead you further away. But that choice will be yours. But I pray that you will make the right choices when life's problems and life's heartaches come your way. I know you will struggle within yourself, with your emotions, and with your thoughts. That I understand. But remember to always trust Jesus, the one able to do more than you could ever pray or even dream. Amen. I sat in my office and I was writing these things. And as I was writing them, I was picturing in my mind this congregation, and especially these young people and children. Everybody is not going to have a perfect life. But you can make perfect decisions in every circumstance that befalls you. We will not stop people from hurting us. People will hurt you on a daily basis. But you always have to remember there are those that really love you and care about you. You can't allow those that try to cause you to stumble to keep you down. But you've got to get right back up. And you say, how can I get up when I'm knocked down? Because always remember, there are those that truly care. That's what helps you get up again. You know, there are some things that I have found out about children. Now, you can imagine when I thought about this part of this message, there was a lot of things that came to mind. And I know I have parents out there that could have helped me out. But I didn't want to spend all day here. There's some things I've found out about children. Now, I'm not just referring to those that are adolescents. I'm talking about anyone that's still sitting here that's never been married. Children. A child cries easily. I know right there. I saw I go to a spouse and I know. I know. But children cry easily. And I found out that you don't have to teach a child to cry. They're experts. But why do they cry? For themselves. Why do adults cry? A majority of the time. It's for themselves. But I also realize that as adults, we too can cry. But make sure your crying, adults, is for the right reasons. Don't cry to get your way. But learn to cry for souls. When's the last time you cried over your kids? Now, I don't mean you had to lay your kids on the bed and go over there and cry for because they're sick in body. I'm talking about when's the last time you found yourself in a prayer meeting and you begin to weep for your children. You begin to cry over your kids. You know, when you look at the church, I pray that the church is filled with adult crying babies. That there are those adults that understand the power of the tear when it comes to winning a soul. It's pouring out our hearts. We're going into spiritual warfare. We're going into territories that the devil has forbidden. And we're bringing about a rescue mission for souls through our tears. Never stop your tears from flowing. For tears are a language that only God truly understands. Now to these children, I want you to realize that God has a place for you in this church. There are opportunities and there are talents available to you to be used in the kingdom of God. But don't allow the complainers to get a hold of your spirits. want to ask these young men, are you acquainted with complainers? I know you're trying to be safe, but I can see by your countenance you're really wanting to shake your head up and down hard. How about you young ladies? Are you acquainted with a lot of complainers? People are all, they're complainers. There will be chronic complainers that you will have to deal with as you grow in the church. But don't allow the spirit of a complainer to grab a hold of you. Remember, there are those that nothing is going to please them. Please don't become one of those. But continue to be grateful for what God has done for you. To us adults, there are characteristics of children that God doesn't want us as adults to lose. One that can cry tears. One that can trust. One that can learn to be content. One that can be teachable. I know what you understand in the child. How many times have your child come up to you and say, show me how to do it? That's a teachable spirit. I want to do it. We must not always see the negative works of a child, but we must always find the positive within that child. Psychologists have told us that a way to break a habit of a child and doing things wrong is to consistently remind them of the things they do good, right. Because when you tell them, I'm so proud of the way you've dressed yourself. I'm so proud of the way that you... They will get to the point where they don't want to do those things that cause you to come with anger and with being upset because of them doing something wrong. Because they enjoy hearing the praise given by a mom or a dad. The second thing that I've learned about children is a child craves attention. That's why sometimes they cry. They want attention. I've got 8 granddaughters, and I've watched them at times. And a lot of times when they cry, it's for attention. Now, Brother Brandon, don't go home and start crying. They love the center stage. Look at me. How many of you can recognize, you can identify, you're all at home and you've got several kids, you got, you know, one or two at least, and you're just all in the living room, and all of a sudden the kids start doing funny things. They start doing things to get your attention. Take time for them. Interact with them. If they went on and got one of those, now young men, I hope you don't do this, but they go into the bedroom, and they come out with those frilly Disney dresses and they come out twirling. You need to twirl with them. When they come out looking like G.I. Joe, you need to play with them. Jonathan, I read his mind. I'm going to go home and I'm going to get my G.I. Joe uniform on and see what Dad does. He'll probably say, "You're crazy." When your boy wants you to go out and throw a ball with him, go outside and throw a ball with him. And mama, if daddy don't do it, you do it. We need to make these young men men. Take them fishing. Get them out of the house. Let them be men. Hello? Brother John, you got a camping trip coming up, right? Take them camping. Don't get lazy. I worked all week. This is Friday, and tomorrow's Saturday, and you're wanting me to go out in the wild and sleep with the bears. And I hope there's no snakes around. Come on. These young men need to know what it is to be a young man. Amen. Growing up being young men and not. Hello? And these young ladies need to become young ladies. Amen. And it's your ladies, your responsibility to make them a young lady. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with the girls wanting to go camping. Nothing wrong with the women wanting to go out fishing. Amen. But let them not turn out to be a he-man. But let them turn out to be a lady. So children crave attention. That's why they will interrupt you and pitch tantrums in a grocery store. No, there's not one parent here that's got a child that's ever done that, right? Never? Oh, she said, I said never done that. I was waiting for a hand to go up, and I saw Sister Lydia put her hand up. I thought, my goodness. Oh, no. Opposite, she says. Tantrum. Brother Daniel, do you still throw tantrums? How about Michael? Brother Mike? How about Sister Lydia? Why are these two young men up here shaking their heads so much up and down? You know, there are some things that it's hard to grow out of. But put that child into an adult frame, and you have good old-fashioned ugly. The Pharisees were attention getters. We find that in Matthew chapter 6. I find that too many break their back in church life, not because they love the Lord, but because they love the limelight. Now, I didn't say that was the majority, but there are those that get things so mixed up that they think being up front is, but it's not that way. But God, give us a spirit of humility. I think Jesus sometimes says to us, then take a back seat. If I want you up front, I'll call you. You know, that's found in Matthew 23 and verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It equals if you let your true light shine, God will put you where it can be seen. God wants us to have the attitude that a child possesses when their peers are picking teams for a ball game. It doesn't matter if I get picked first. I just want to be in the game. The third thing I noticed about children is some children take after their examples, such as the child that has little gratitude. Too often our children see how we respond to life when we are blessed and how we react to it. Are we full of gratitude or do we voice our dislikes? Like, that's not what I wanted. What? This is all I get? Too often, whatever you do is never enough. When you give 10%, they want 11. Appreciation doesn't come naturally to a child. We have to teach them. It must be taught by the examples that we portray to them. Number four, a child feels little responsibilities. Children are guided by the words want and have to, and not by ought to. Children have no sense of obligation. We must teach them and teach them young. Children that grow up helping in the home, around the yard, are receiving some great lessons that will bleed over into their adulthood. Moms, if you don't teach your girls how to clean, cook, iron, wash the dishes, dry the dishes, wash the clothes, dry the clothes, make beds, vacuum the floors, deep clean the house. What kind of wife are you going to present to a prospective husband? Now, dads, if you don't teach your sons how to work in the yard, take out the trash, how to do minor repairs around the house, how to keep themselves, proper hygiene, wash their hair, clean their teeth, iron their clothes, and the list just keeps getting longer. But the byproduct is to find a good wife. Can I simply put it this way? If you allow your child to live in a house that's broken down, that the yard is unkept, then that's exactly what their house is going to become. But beyond the teachings of these common things of life, show them by example. Don't just tell them, show them. When you look into the local church, many feel little responsibilities beyond just showing up. Teach your children to take ownership and leadership of their church. Make your church the best it can be by taking on the responsibility of your church. But these things never just happen, but it should come by a personal experience that you have with God. Don't wait until it takes the preaching of God's word to make the difference. The fifth thing I found is a child is naturally selfish. Does anyone here have a child that they were playing one day and all of a sudden someone else came into the picture and they start saying, "That's mine"? Oh, well, I have to say, I had kids that way. Nobody else did. I had to come and ask you how you did it. Oh, now we got hands going up. Two hands went up. No, I said like this. I mean, I was looking to see if one went like that. I guess you have to do that if you have more than four kids. You don't have to stand on your head. But most children all can be summed up in one word, selfish. This is the norm of the way our children react until we teach them otherwise. Selfishness is the root cause of every sin. We all have the tendency to live in our own little world. But we need to open up the doors and windows of our lives and let others in our world. It was Jesus that said to the Apostle Paul, "Put away childish things and grow up." Now, I would like to challenge you with three goals. I'm not just talking to our children, but I'm talking to young people and adults. The first thing I want to challenge you with is to be curious. Did you know that kids ask an average of 125 questions per day? I know how parents are. "Why, Mom?" "Because I said so." "Why is the sky blue?" "I don't know." That's how the kids get their answers. "I don't know." Why is it? It's because parents get to the place where they're tired of answering those 125 questions. But how are they going to learn? "Why is the sky blue, Mom?" "Well, it's because that's the color that God chose to make the sky blue." You don't have to go into all the atmospheric, you know, this. They're going to look at you and they're going to have more questions to ask. "Well, what's that?" So you might as well be simple. God chose the sky to be blue. "Well, then why is the water blue and the sky blue?" Instead of giving them some scientific explanation that they're going to look at you and ask so much more, is say, "Well, it's because what you're seeing is a reflection of the sky in the water. That's why it's blue." Oh. Give them simple answers that really do make sense. But they ask 125 questions a day. But did you know that adults only ask about 6 questions a day? What happened to the other 119? It's because adults think they know it all. They're losing that childlike spirit. Why do adults ask so few probing or provoking questions? Asking questions does not mean you're stupid. It means you want to learn. Never be satisfied with what you know. Seek to grow. Ask God in prayer. Search the scriptures as you read your Bible. Never just assume. Knock on every door until you find the conclusion. Don't weary of chasing the truth. And never forget to ask yourself. Asking yourself the questions of life will cause you to seek out the answers to life. Be curious until the day that you will meet the one who knows all the answers, and then continue to ask your best questions. Someone asked me a question. And they asked me, when you get to heaven, what's one of the first things you're going to do? Well, I know we can all come up with things that we're going to do when we first get to heaven. Most of us are going to stand there in awe. But you know what? I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions to ask the Lord. I'm not going to ask or tell you my questions, but there's some things I want to know that I had never figured out here. Hello? Spiritually speaking, don't get satisfied with just touching Jesus, but get a relationship with Him. And so we're talking about being curious. If it took our Creator 6 days to form and fill the world, we need to allow Him to form and fill us. The moment that you begin to assume the answers instead of asking questions is the moment you die, both spiritually and physically. My second challenge is for you to be courageous. I believe our world has mislabeled failure and success. Let me give you an example of why I feel this way. Don't most people stop trying when they succeed at what they attempt? Think about it. You got to think about that. Most people stop trying when they succeed at what they attempt. Instead of reaching for more or making what you succeeded in better, don't stop just because you did it. Most will stop trying when they reach their goal. But I see this as backwards. Too many stop trying when they feel something is too hard, or they stop trying if they don't first succeed. What should we do? Is we need to see our failures as successes. Now, I know that's contrary to a lot of our thinkings. I have found out that the way I was trying to do it don't work. But don't give up. Try it another way. If what we usually considered failures we would see as successes, now when you try something, anything, the only way you can fail is to quit. The way you succeed is you keep trying. Victory is to believe you can, and defeat is to assume you can't. So many never try because they're afraid of failure. But in reality, they already failed. Have some guts about you. See failure as a step towards success and as you are getting closer to your goal. The Bible says, and I believe this also, that there are some things that we should take note of. And number one, never think that hard work without God is enough. And number two, it's never enough to have faith in yourselves. And number three, with God, all things are possible, but without Him, we can do nothing. Now I want to give you three challenges. I know I'm taking a little time. It's not raining yet. I want to give you three challenges. I'm giving you two. I'm giving you the third one. The third one is be committed. Be committed. To the young people, you're young. And you're bound to make your share of mistakes. Because you're never old until you think you're old. You will likely fall many times, but always get back up. Even if you fall seven times, even over the same stupid things, just keep getting back up, knock off that dust, and keep going. The only one that can keep you from finishing your race in this life is you. No other person has that kind of power over you. So don't blame others. And never stop going forward. And never look back too long. Don't allow this culture shape you into their mold. And don't let the enemy deceive you into a counterfeit truth. And don't be moved from your purpose as God's child. For this world is only temporary. You've got to set your sights higher and let your goals constantly become heavenly. Avoid the temptation to be less than what you know you can be. And stop at nothing. Less than the glory of God in your life. Do not quit. Never stop pursuing after God. Love, Dad. That's my letter to you. But before I close, I want to show you that through the pursuit of success, it will bring you to many benefits, but not only to yourself, but to others. And then I want to show you through the pursuit of success, you may fail, but through persistence, you will succeed through your failures. There's two men I want to reference. The first is Thomas Edison. At 21, he patented his first invention, the electrical vote recorder. It was a device that was 100 years ahead of its time. At 26, he invented the automatic telegraph and the paraffin paper. At 30, he invented the phonograph, the earliest record player. At 32, he invented the light bulb. And at 32, he invented the electric generator and the electric motor. At 38, a wireless communication system was created for ships at sea. At 44, the motion picture camera. At 50, he created the X-ray tube. At 55, he created the alkaline battery. At 58, he created a dictaphone machine. At 65, he created the talking motion picture. At 67, he created the telescribe. At 70, he invented the sonar, radar, stealth technology, and the list goes on. His life was full of successes that came through a pursuit. Now, I know you're all thinking, but he failed so often and many times with creating the light bulb. Correct. For the light bulb alone, he successfully discovered over 6,000 ways it didn't work. Edison was a success because he constantly asked questions and he never stopped trying. He was curious and he was courageous. Now let's look at Abraham Lincoln. At 23, he lost his first job. And at 23, he lost his first election to politics. But he was elected captain of an Illinois militia group at 23. At 24, he failed at his first business endeavor. At 25, he was elected to the state legislature. At 26, his sweetheart died. At 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At 29, he lost another election. At 33, he was permitted to practice law in the district courts. At 34, he was defeated for nomination for Congress. At 37, he was elected to Congress. At 39, he had another election defeat. He lost his renomination to Congress. And at 40, he was rejected for land officer. At 41, his four-year-old son died. At 45, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. At 47, he was defeated for nomination for vice president. At 49, he was defeated again for a U.S. Senate. But at 51, he was elected as president of these United States. Lincoln never gave up. He was courageous. He was committed. Is that who I'm looking at here this morning? Young people that are going to be curious, courageous, and committed people to God. What is before us can be conquered by your continual pursuit of God. Let's stand. I want these young people to succeed. I want every one of them to know we are behind them. Don't ever give up on your kids. They may make mistakes, but help lift them up. They'll never be perfect, but God didn't create perfect individuals. He created us all the same. We all need encouragement. But we also need to understand that along with encouragement, we also need someone who's going to come and tell us the truth when we've done wrong. Because that in itself is how I'm going to grow. And God loves you as much as your pastor, even when you do wrong. But you've got to let God You got to allow your pastor and you got to allow your parents to help direct you in doing what is right. God, I ask you here right now this night, God, that you would touch these young people, that you would minister to each and every one of them, that you would help them to understand, God, how much you love them. And I ask you today, Lord, that you not only hold them, but you direct them. I ask you, Lord, let the touch of God be in their lives. Let them feel your presence and let them know that you are always present. I pray, Lord, when the enemy tries to come to defeat their mind, that you would encourage them to have the faith, to believe in themselves, that they can make it, that they can be an overcomer, that they can live victorious for you. I pray, God, today that you would bless our young people, our children, and let them realize how special they are here today in your sight. I ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're great. I love every one of you. You don't have to have the last name Hale or Lou to be loved by your pastor. Don't let the enemy of your soul bring any negativism to your mind. Don't allow any individual to say things that are derogatory about anyone. We are all the same. We're all striving to make it. Have a teachable spirit. Have a teachable spirit. What is a teachable spirit? It's one that will allow the man of God to step into your life and tell you, we don't do that. Yes, Pastor, I won't do it no more. You say, why is that important? Because there are stepping stones to grow in God. And God sometimes has to cut off the rough edges of your life. And a lot of times that's your wrong decisions. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. I want to be pleasing to my God in everything that I do. I pray that's your prayer here today. God bless you as we make our way to our homes and we are changing our garments and you're bringing your portions that was asked. We'll be meeting at the church and we hopefully will be eating by 1:30. Amen. Do you love your kids? Young people, we love you. Amen. Children, we love you. God bless you. No service tonight, prayer tomorrow night. Then we'll be back on Wednesday night for our Weight the Worth class. And Worth the Weight class, I said. I got it all confused. Anyway, let's everybody be here. God bless you.